Let's take our Bibles. We're going to go to a couple different passages here to start with. I seem to be in a season of wisdom crying out to me in the streets, and I'd like to share a few things that the Lord spoke to my heart about just in the last 25 hours. And here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying." And then if you'd like to go with me to Isaiah 66, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verse 12. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees." And we're going to hone in on that, peace to her like a river, this morning. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. And Lord, I just thank you for the lessons of life that you have for us, and Lord, that you're so patient and waiting for us to be ready to receive these lessons and understand them and apply them. And once again, we just come before your presence asking you to speak to our hearts, to remind us, to teach us, to help us, to guide us, Lord, that we would honor you in spirit and in truth. And I just thank you for each one who was able to come out today. Lord, for those that still are not able to, that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, and we thank you for them. Lord, for those that are in sorrow, there are many, many people in sorrow this morning over losing a loved one. I just ask that you would encourage their hearts greatly. Lord, if it's in our ability or opportunity, Lord, that we'd be able to reach out to them and give them that word of encouragement or whatever you'd have us to, Lord. I ask that you would please bless these services today, that you would be honored and glorified in all of them, Lord, the singing, the praying, the teaching, the preaching. And Father, we just thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your promise to be with us. Lord, that you have all power in heaven and in earth. And Lord, I just ask that you'd give me the words you'd have to be said. Lord, the understanding, Lord, to be able to apply, and the joy just to live it out. And we'll just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we consider like a river this morning, I know it has been said and thought that one of the most peaceful places in all of creation is near water. And recently, I was getting tired of my computer screen going blank, and just because it had rested too long. And so I went in there and I put an option for the screensaver or some pictures to go up so my computer wouldn't shut down, so just with one click it would be ready right there again. And the natural option that there was just lots of pictures of water, lots of them, some with mountains, some with green, and just to look at those screens, I'm sure it would inspire Grandpa or some of you other artistic people to do some paintings, but they're beautiful scenes and they're peaceful places. Well, this weekend, well, yesterday, a good portion of us went canoeing up and down the creek behind my in-law's house there. And like that verse says in Proverbs 1:20, just the wisdom that was crying out. And I don't know, I'm always the lagger behind when it comes to canoeing. I don't know if it's I've got the worst canoe or I'm just the weakest person or I just am thinking too much about all the things that are around me. But I'm always lagging behind. Well, as we went from our house all the way up to Morgan Mills by the culverts there, poor Mark, when I said we were going to the culverts, he thought we were going to Culver's. And that was confusing and disappointing when he saw those pipes instead of the restaurant. But but from that point on, we went back, and that would be with flowing with the current. And just there, it was in that time frame where God began to speak to my heart about these practical lessons in regards to a river. I also am continually asking God, okay, Lord, what do you want me to teach on for Sunday school? I want something to be fresh. I want something to be alive, something to make me interesting. And yesterday morning, before we even went on this canoeing trip, I was reading a devotional, and it was talking about this idea that if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Have you ever done that? You aim at nothing and you hit it every time. So as we consider this verse, it says, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river." A river has direction. A river is going. So my first question, are you going anywhere? Are you going anywhere? Do you have direction? And so I spent several hours just thinking about this theme. And there are just so many illustrations with this river in regards to the Christian life, a testimony of influence that can be seen through the creek or the river. But let me just say this, just because the water is moving doesn't mean that it's going forward. Because there are lots of places along the route where there is stagnant water. In the center it's moving, but there's some places on those edges where it's just doing a circle. And it's really not going anywhere. Or in some of the instances, it was just getting trapped because of fallen debris or whatever on the sides. And you had the moss that was growing in a great place for the turtles, frogs, and snakes to abide. You know, those reptiles that we think are almost demonic looking at times. And so my question for us this morning is, do we have direction? Are we really going anywhere? Or are we stuck in a little ritual cycle becoming stagnant or have been stagnant? Some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Now, I'm sorry this is disgusting, but I have a toilet that you can flush and it just does circles and it goes nowhere. And I'm thinking because we have so much hardness on our water that it's clogged some of the ports that let the water from the tank out correctly. And all it's doing is swirling and goes nowhere. Wasting time, wasting water, just going nowhere. And I wonder how often that we can find ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves, where there is no direction or not much of it, and so we're not really going anywhere. Remember when God asked Elijah, "What doest thou here?" Elijah was a godly man, but there came this point in his life where he didn't really have direction. He was just moving. And as a result, there was no destination in mind. There was no goal to reach. And even upon being questioned those couple of times, it was always, "Well, I've done the best that I could do." And see, we have to remind ourselves continually, it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about what I can do. It's about what He can do through me. And I can remember that message so long ago from Larry Brown that we listened to so many times, probably wore the tape out. "Go forward," he said. "Go forward." But it wasn't in our own strength. It was in His strength. And so he started running, Elijah did, maybe in some instances you could say, well, he did it all the time, but this time it was without direction. Not like Abraham. Abraham was called to a place he didn't know about, but God gave him direction, and he went by faith. And Abraham didn't have to depend on responding to God if God were to ask him, "Hey, what are you doing here?" "Well, you sent me." That wasn't the response that Elijah had. "What are you doing here?" "Well, I have." There's a vast difference in those two illustrations. And we certainly are thankful for the life of Elijah and his faithfulness, but it's just a reality check that at any moment, we can be heading in a direction without direction. We're learning a little bit about the brain in our house and some of its capabilities. And what has been interesting in this is that our brain instinctively makes decisions for us all day long without us even thinking about it anymore. The vast amount of connections that are being made, literally billions of connections are being made every day in our brain that are like connecting dots to reach the end of the decisions. Things that we decided and planned and thought through years and years and years ago, and it became maybe a habit or a ritual. For example, what goes with pizza? Coke. pop. Maybe you don't like Coke, but maybe yours is orange or Dr. Pepper or whatever. Pizza and pop. Why? Because, what, 5 decades ago, somebody linked those two things together, and what do you see served at every pizza place? Pop. Everywhere. If you were to go to Mexico, if you have pork, you have to have Coke. Not some other flavor, it has to be Coke, because they will tell you, if you don't drink Coke, your food will not digest properly. So where did that connection get made? You know? And there's a host of those types of things. Cake needs ice cream, right? Ice cream needs chocolate. All kinds of connections that are made. A suit needs a tie, except for some of you guys are breaking tradition back there, and that's fine and dandy. But for decades and decades, people said suit needs tie. No choices, no opportunities to rebel against that tradition. It just was a thing. There's just a host of those things. I'm trying to make them lighthearted, but there's some serious ones as well. We don't think about it because either we or someone else decided it long ago and see word, connect the dot, and fulfill it. And that's it. There's no real choice in the matter because we've surrendered it long ago to these connections. God does not want us to live our Christian life that way. God wants us to live in a reality. He wants us to live alert. That's why he told Peter, watch and pray. Because if we just depended on the connections of our brain, then we're going to do exactly what Peter did. He drew his sword and then he ran, in a sense, because he depended on the flesh instead of staying alert in the spirit. God doesn't want us to make choices that way. So are we going forward? Do we have any direction? That river has direction in the center of it, at least. It has direction. It is flowing. It is moving. But one thing that really struck out to me yesterday was that it's free to move forward. Are you free to move forward in the will of God today? Or is something holding you back? Or is someone holding you back? Look at Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14. We're just going to look at a couple little verses to give us some direction. Exodus 14, 15. Exodus 14, 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God wants us to go forward. Now, obviously, in this situation, he didn't want them staying where they were. He'd already given them instruction. He's like, what's the deal? Let's get moving. And there are times in our lives, maybe it's because it's comfortable where we are. Maybe it's because there's insecurity as to which step to take forward. And I understand Gideon had insecurities, and he threw out that fleece, so to speak, 3 times. God gave him answer, gave him direction to be able to go forward. But are you free to go forward, or is something or someone holding you back? Regardless of obstacles, that water yesterday was moving. If I stuck my finger in the water, it's an obstacle. It just went around it. When I stuck my oar in the water, it just went around it. We saw the water go around a lot of logs, a lot of rocks, around a lot of corners. The water was free to go forward. Are we free to go forward in the will of God? Certainly, we're not talking about going outside the parameters of the Word of God, because the river doesn't even do that. There are parameters, but it's going forward in a direction. You know, I thought about how many times do people get in our way and we want to holler, scream, honk our horn, throw something. I don't know. Lots of things happen with different personalities. But when I stuck my finger, or when David was sticking his feet in the water wasn't screaming saying, hey, get out of my way. I got places to go. The water did not do that. You heard a peaceful sound, and it kept going because it was free. Can we go free, or are we being held back because of some carnal obstacle that we can't let go of and we don't want to go around? See, that's the problem. We don't really want to go around it. We want to debate it. We want to fight it. We want to, eject it from our sight, from our path. When a person has direction from God, there's genuine freedom. When God called us to go to Mexico in 95, there was like 7 passages of Scripture, and then through deputation, a couple more were added. So there was 9 passages of Scripture. And then people would ask me, I'm not sure about Julie, but they would ask me frequently, why aren't you afraid to go to Mexico? Aren't you afraid to go to Mexico City? You know, don't you have some precautions there with your family, your wife, your children, etc.? And I was like, well, we have these verses, and we're depending and resting on these verses to guide us to the place that he would have us go. And we certainly saw that, because at that time frame when he was speaking to our hearts, there were 2 ladies there in Wewetoka praying for a church. And so God made those connections, and he gave the peace because there was something to rest in. It was in one sense, it was easy because you could just leave the security factor with him. Oh, sure, there was some apprehensions in the flesh, but the peace came because of the word. And a person will have genuine freedom to go forward when we have direction from God. He told us, so teach us to number our days that we may apply. We have all kinds of apps. You know, Brother Steve was filtering through. I've seen the screen of his phone. Well, several screens, right? He's flipping through all these things. And honestly, I wouldn't be able to do that. I would be completely disorganized all the time. I wouldn't remember what my icons looked like, and thus I would never use them. And you know, there are things in our lives that can become a distraction, that can cause us to take that detour. Right now, if you go north on 91 at Peck Road, you have to take a detour. Well, I didn't need to take a detour because I needed to take Peck Road to get to Ken Crane's house. Well, I just got stuck in detour signs, and I started following the signs and realized, I don't need to be going this way. I had direction, but I forgot about it. I was just going with this weird flow. And how often do we get in situations like that where we have direction, but we got stuck in this detour? And I think that's where Israel found themselves in one sense, in Exodus. And God says, hey, I already told you, it's time to go forward. Consider Joshua having to lead the people across the Jordan River. That was an obstacle, but God took them through it. And when there are obstacles, because of that foundation in the Word of God, because of the direction of the Word of God, an obstacle does not have to be this insurmountable amount of problems that are impossible to pass, but rather it's an opportunity for God to show himself strong to keep us in peace. That's what he said he was going to leave us, was peace. Oh, we know that there's variances and other things that he came to cause, but at the same token, peace trumps all of that because he left it with us. And my question is, how are we doing in that peace? Just peace like a river. Obstacles come our way. Are we shouting, whining, crying, complaining? Or can we just freely flow through those obstacles, reminding of that obstacle of the peace of God? Look at Colossians chapter 4. Another thing that I thought about in going down the creek yesterday was clarity. A river or a creek brings clarity. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So recently, Julie and the girls have been cooking up some asparagus, and wow, they've got the seasoning down on that to the point where even if you don't really care for asparagus, the seasoning just makes you want to have more. It's almost addicting because it's, I don't know, it's just one of those things where it's taken a bunch of years to get to this point, but it's amazing. And it causes me to want more, even though the season is over with. Well, the Word of God brings clarity. Well, so if we're applying the Word of God to our lives, then we ought to be bringing clarity to those things that are coming into our lives. So yesterday, we got a little hung up on a sandbar, but just before that sandbar was a place where a lot of the black, sooty, mucky stuff was gathering. And so I had stuck my oar, thinking I was going to shove off, and my oar just went down quite a ways into that mucky stuff before I was able to get someplace solid enough to push off from. But the interesting thing to me was when I pulled out the oar, the stench that came out of that of that mucky stuff. But you know what? It was within 5 seconds that the odor was gone and the soot was gone. The water took it away. The peace of God, if we have true peace in our hearts, when somebody drums up dirt, we should be able to get rid of that really fast. Cover it up and forget about it. Not continually bringing it up to the surface. You know, there's a spring up at Pier Marquette on Julie's grandpa's property that water is coming from who knows where, but it is super cold. But even in its, I don't know, the process that is happening, that thing is not bringing up nasty, dirty, sooty soil. There is pure, white, clean sand moving around, but that water is fresh and clean. And if we're drawing from this pure source, the Word of God, which interestingly enough, that river in heaven flows out of the throne of God, we should not be worrying or dwelling or complaining or participating in the dirt that's being drummed up, but clearing it out so that there is clarity, erasing the stench so that peace is brought back to our minds. Now, it isn't that we're these peace-loving people with their little signs like back from the 70s and present all around this world. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a reality that gives direction, a reality that brings us to the goal that God would have us to reach. And in that, there is clarity. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know what? There are Christians all over this world right now that are afraid. They're afraid of the one world order. They're afraid of the whole preparation for the Antichrist and for tribulation and persecution and a whole lot of stuff. There's a lot of fear. Jesus said he was leaving us with peace. Why do I say that there's fear? Because it seems to be on the lips of a lot of Christians. They're worrying and fretting. We need to be free to go around this obstacle because there's people who need peace. There's people who need to see security and grace and love and purpose that is all included with this lesson of the path of a river, the course of a river, and the course of our lives. We don't need to be stuck in the stagnated areas, but going forward, bringing clarity, bringing peace. You know, the hymn says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." In other words, there are those moments of differences, but God's love is going to conquer all of that. All of the changes and all of the differences, all the disturbing moments, that peace of God, when he says, "Peace, be still," it's gone. Because he said so. Do you ever notice that the Bible says in Matthew 5 and lessons all over the place, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful." It never says, "Blessed are the inciters." They're never going to be blessed. It's the peacemakers and it's the merciful that are going to be blessed, not the inciters. So who are we? What are we? How are we portraying ourselves in this world? Are you refreshing? Because that's another lesson God spoke to my heart yesterday. It's interesting because a river or a creek is not pure water. You're not going to take a handful of it and drink it right down. There is still dirt and grime and things that are floating in it. Interestingly enough, though, it brings clarity so that you can see the bottom, so that you can see the stones, you can see the fish, what have you. You know, we saw old cinder blocks and fallen down docks and different things under the water. So even though there are those particles, it brings clarity. So that was a reminder to me that because we are bringing peace doesn't mean that we are without problems, faults, sin. But God still wants to use us to bring that peace to these people. In Isaiah 28:12, the Bible says here, Isaiah 28:12, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. We have to be reminded that there are people who are not going to hear, but are we refreshing? The word of God is refreshing, and it's renewing, Titus 3:5. It's renewing. Are we refreshing and renewing? Because once again, the Lord Jesus abiding in us, the Holy Spirit sealing us, the Word of God cleansing us, are we then reflecting that refreshment? This morning I was looking, I was holding David. He hadn't woke up too many minutes beforehand. I was staying in our bedroom, and I was looking north. Well, on that north wall of our bedroom is a puzzle that we put together, and it's an eagle. And right this second, I can't remember all the different things that are in there. But what caught my eye was a gold rectangle. And I was like, what? What is that? So it took me a second to adjust to it. But what I was seeing was the reflection of the glass that's over that of the other walls. Well, in that reflection, I saw the reflection of our mirror that's over our bed, which was reflecting another plaque on the side of the wall. And I was like, wow, that there are a lot of lessons right there. The reflection. And how easy is it for us to reflect the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, the Word of God says. And so you had this picture of this eagle in this outdoor scene. It's majestic, but yet in the depth, it almost seemed like it was deeper than the picture, was the reflection of all these things. I saw two lamps along with that gold plaque. Well, that gold plaque was so bright. Well, it's just the frame that's gold. It was so bright because it was reflecting the sunlight that was coming through the window. Now, you talk about a complexity of reflection there. And yet, that's what God wants to use us for, to reflect His peace. And with that peace, there's all kinds of, the security comes because of sanctification and holiness. And those are certainly subjects that are incorporated into this word peace. But the Lord is here wanted to extend peace to these people, and they wouldn't listen. We're going to have people that don't want to listen. But here's the question then. Are we desirable? If we're refreshing, even though some aren't going to come, you know, there was a lemonade stand, probably a month ago that I passed. I didn't want to stop and pay $1 for their lemonade. I'm sure it was refreshing. I'm sure it tasted good, as long as it wasn't from powder. But I didn't want to stop. They were offering it, but I didn't want to stop. There are going to be people that just do not want to hear. And they're going to use the excuse, you're not wearing a mask. I'm worried about COVID. I'm not letting anybody into my house. There's a lot of excuses that they're going to use today that they would not have used before March. But there's going to be those people. But we still need to remind ourselves, I need to be refreshing. If I'm going to be refreshing, I need to keep myself refreshed in the Word of God, in the purpose, in the clarity, in these things that we've looked at. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. Does anyone want to come back to talk to you? Are you desirable? We live in a very commercialized world, and marketing is huge. Marketers get paid a lot of money because they're the life flow of sales for many companies. Marketing skills make products desirable, even though you don't know anything about them. We're not to give false information to people, but peace and grace make the Word of God desirable to others. It isn't that we're trying to put on this false sense of mercy or false sense of peace or false sense of grace. We need to be living it genuinely because that is desirable. Peace in the person in a person's life because of the greatest work ever done in Calvary is the greatest, one of the greatest tools to make our walk desirable. Are we at peace? Recently, I was given a testimony of another Christian family who had moved into an area several years ago, and they had a desire to reach the community, but it was a very hard neighborhood, like many of us have or have lived in. And they were just giving a testimony that after years and years and years of being peacemakers, of squelching disgruntled situations and avoiding certain other situations where maybe there was invitations to where there was alcohol, all of these things over the years has brought at least one person to say to their own daughter, who's very liberal, and their daughter said, "Mom, something's happening to you. You're changing. We used to agree on everything, and now we hardly agree on anything. What's going on with you?" And she gave this testimony to her daughter, who is still not saved. This woman is still not saved. Pray for her. Her name is Maria. She said, "Well, I've met some people that have caused me to look at life a little differently than I'd ever had before." And so she's still not saved, but we're looking at a person who saw peace in a person's life, confidence and grace, the graceful words that came off their mouth, and that life is being changed. Not saved yet, but with that hope, with that expectation of her being saved. So, are we desirable? Do people want to talk to us? I'll be honest, I think of certain people's names and I want to stay away from them like the plague. I really just don't want to talk to them because they just have a habit of complaining about everything, whining about everything. And that's not encouraging. And so naturally we want to stay away from that kind of situation. So do people want to have a conversation with us? Thoughts on being desirable. Have you ever seen excerpts of an old-time movie where there was somebody trying to get away from someone and they ran either with their horse or on foot to a river or a creek and they ran either downstream or upstream? What were they trying to do? Hide their footprints, erase their trail so that they could lose whoever was chasing them. Can people come to us with trials of life with confidence that we are not going to be the marketing individuals that spread their story all around the world, but that it is something that rested with us as we gave them the Word of God washed it away, and it's a done deal. You see what I'm trying to illustrate there? The river, when I pulled my oar out of the muck, washed it away. Not to say, the river didn't yell out, "Hey, that stinks, don't do that again. Hey, did you just see what happened over here?" It wasn't drawing attention to the situation. It just calmly and peacefully took it away. Are we practicing that? Is that not what God does for us? In Jeremiah chapter 50, I was really encouraged about this verse again this morning as I read it in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 20. Isaiah 50, verse 20. Isaiah 50, verse 20. The Bible says here, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve." That's an amazing promise for them. If you jump over to Micah chapter 7, let's read 18 and 19. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. It's going to be taken away. Clarity. A clean conscience, if you will. Well, for us, that's harder than our God because he's perfect. But my last question is, are we as patient as a river? Are we as patient as a creek? Have you ever noticed how smooth rocks are where there's moving water? It's not just the rocks, though. You have the corners that are rounded off. You have wood, trees that have fallen, and the water has, like, sanded that wood so smooth. And the various items that you will find down there, how smooth they are. Now, that didn't happen overnight, but the patience of a river to see that shaping and molding that God wants to do, as we see there in Jeremiah with the potter, wanted to take off those rough edges. And he is the one that said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn." Well, you don't learn everything in an instant. It takes time. Learn of him. Well, our time is greatly gone. But I just thought of an acronym. And this is going to be a hard acronym for me to remember, but the word river, rejuvenating instinctively viable earthly recipients, making me think of people. Are we desiring to rejuvenate them, to stoke life into them again? It's like throwing fertilizer onto that plant. Do we desire to see it grow? If we do, peace is going to be important. Peace is going to be important. That's going to influence our grace, our patience, and these many things that we've looked at this morning. So I hope that can be a little blessing to you, and maybe the next time you take a trip down the creek, you'll think of some of those things as well. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your love, and thank you for so many blessings. Lord, I just thank you for the sunshine, and I know that the crops need them, and the heat and the humidity and the rain and all those things. But Lord, I also thank you for that fresh air and the coolness and how it rejuvenates those that struggle in the heat. Lord, I just thank you, though, that in this heat there are some older folks who can be comfortable and can enjoy it. And Lord, we just thank you that you have made such an amazing variety for us. Lord, just please rebuke the devil and his angels, and Lord, help us to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen.